I've lived in this irascible body for 960 years now. I was born prematurely those 60 years ago. I was one of twins, and we were very small at a time when babies who are very small aren't supposed to live. He didn't, and I did. But they knew something was wrong and eventually diagnosed cerebral palsy. So I have lived with CP since I was born. And it has affected me in different ways, so I'm pretty much chair-bound now. I can assure you that I have grown from the moment of my birth understanding God as both the creator of the universe and the creator of me, ultimately, and understanding God creates in goodness and creates for well-being in the world and in ourselves. I didn't have a language for that, but I have always known that. So I have never incorporated or understood the definition of disability as demons that need to be exorcised from me. Although I can say that I have been stopped on many street corners and asked if people if I would be willing to have someone exorcise my demons. So it's very, very important to me to understand. I don't understand the way that people translate Jesus' use of demons because I simply cannot take it in as theology. And so I haven't. And that, in part, has saved my life. It has certainly saved my life in the context of the church. My sense is that Jesus was about healing, which is a word I understand in this context, but not about curing. Mm-hmm. Healing I can understand, because we all need healing. And I have a deep sense of Jesus' touch as being not only a sign of healing, but a true healing act, just as touch is between us fragile, beloved humans. But I don't expect to be cured. This is the fragile, obnoxious, ironic, beautiful body I was born in. And I wouldn't know what to do if somebody made me into somebody else. I would be lost. I would no longer be myself. This is who I am. I don't have trouble with the healing stories in themselves because I believe that exactly that's what our senses are meant for. And part of what Jesus teaches is that we need to use them. Touch, speaking, sight, look at one another, listen to one another, acknowledge one another. And Jesus doesn't say anything about curing. It may be that this is one of the first times in 18 years that she's been seen, that she's been acknowledged. And because of that, she can raise herself up. Now, it sounds simplistic, but given what we know about the strength of our own bodies, I believe, you know, I'm not going to get cured, but I absolutely believe there are things that I can do that will heal me in the context of community. You know, I cannot do it alone. She could not do it alone. The community itself could not do it alone, not without being called. So that's sort of what I try to do when I look at the healing stories, is say, okay, what did Jesus do? Mm-hmm. And then what is he lifting up in that piece? Mm-hmm. I don't like the stories themselves, but I've learned, as with much in the Bible, to work with metaphor. Mm-hmm. And it helps to separate healing from curing. Mm-hmm. Language makes a difference.
Yes.
And I wouldn't want to be cured. There are many things that I need healing around. Mm-hmm. But I would not want to be cured. Mm-hmm. That would like being cured of being myself.
Right.
So I have trouble with the stories because they assume a whole life beforehand is invalid. Mm. And suddenly then life is valid. Mm. Which is where that word comes from, which I would say, please do not use that word. Invalid. And so I try and keep Jesus to Jesus and not mix my metaphors.
Yeah.
Because we have a whole lot to learn.
Yeah.
About how we make people invalid. Mm. By not seeing or not hearing or not touching. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe it's only Jesus' part, and I don't believe that. I believe that every moment is a moment that we need to use whatever power we have. Mm. And Sabbath is probably the best day ever because we're paying most attention. Mm-hmm. So, if that sends me to the devil, so be it.